Bibles to Hebrews. We're back to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be looking today in our scriptures at the Greater Than the Angels is the title of this. We saw last week as we jump-started into Hebrews that great first three verses were just a thesis statement of how the author was making the greatness of Christ known to us and how we broke that down. And that was such a great, great reminder to us, the supremacy of Christ above all other things. And that's that is the title of this series as we're going through Hebrews, is the supremacy of Christ. And He is supreme above all things. And so, if you've got your Bibles, let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. And we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 4 through 14 this morning. The Word of God says this: having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your prayers will never fail. But to which of the angels has He ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation?" Let's pray. God, we thank You forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. We thank You for the time. May it go forth. Nobody's here by coincidence, Lord, but You brought them here for this time, for Your word. May You be glorified, and may Christ be uplifted. In Jesus' name we ask it, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Greater than the angels. The Hebrew Christians were being challenged. If you remember last week, they were in the midst. They were in the place of maybe drifting away from the faith, and we talked about that. Drifting. I like Lee sent me a quote from, I guess it was from one of the snowbird directors of the camp that people go to, and the statement was, "Nobody drifts to holiness." Is that not, think about that. We don't just drift towards becoming more righteous or more Christ-like. We don't drift. What do? We drift away, don't we? We drift away. And the statement that went along with that is this: when I take sin lightly, I take my salvation lightly. Great quotes to think about. Do we just kind of wink at sin and, "Oh, God will forgive me"? No, we will never drift towards holiness. If we're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in 2018, which, by the way, 14 days are gone. You wait and see. I'll be saying this here, and we'll be clicking it off again like it always happens. But are we, let me tell you, time is going by so quick that we can't just drift in our growth with the Lord. We have to purpose, and we have to be, in one word, intentional. We have to be intentionally seeking Him and growing in Him. That's the only way that we grow in Christ. And so as we get to this part, if you remember last week that we were talking about that drift, that these are persecuted Christians. We know it's written to Hebrews, the Jewish believers. Can you imagine? They came out of Judaism, and then they've received Christ. This is their Messiah. And then all the people that rejected Christ, they're on them about, "Hey, how can this be? How can you turn from your faith?" All these things that you can hear if you've ever been one of those people in that position. Ever came to know Christ and you have a family that's lost, you've heard all those things. How can you believe something? How can you believe it's almost like a fairy tale? How can any intelligent people ever believe such a thing? Hey, I've been there myself. 28 years I walked without Christ. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up knowing all these things, and I just thought Christianity was a bunch of hypocrites, because you know what? I told you this. I was partying with them through the week, but they just acting like it's better than me on Sunday. I hope to God that's not our testimony. Because if it is, that's not drifting toward anything but unrighteousness. But when there's a longing within man and he's missing something, God puts that longing in our Sunday school. Donnie was talking about today. He puts that longing within us. And we'll find something to worship. You might not believe in Christ as your Savior, but you're worshiping something today. It might be yourself. It might be your checkbook. It might be whatever. It might be nature itself. But you're worshiping something today. And we'll see that as he brings it out. He's talking about the angels. And if you see, I put that little picture up there. And you might have that picture in your house. You ever think, we got this idea of what angels look like that's far from Scripture, by the way, okay? We make Hollywood supersede the Scripture sometimes of what our vision of what angels are, do we not? And most of them are not careful. That'll be what we go to, some feminine angel that's overwatching the kids. And that's all great, but that how biblical is that? And so we see that he's going to tell us, and the Jews, they had great admiration for the angels. Why? They looked at the created being. They saw God as first, and right under God was the angels. Because they were ministering spirits. They knew from Deuteronomy. They knew from the Psalms that they were part of the mediators of the law. We see that they were with him at Sinai. They were there. It's just thousands upon thousands. They were with him. They ministered. So they saw them as part of the mediators of the law that was brought to them. And so these angels were very high in their sense. And the Gnostics of that day, which were teaching this superior knowledge, they even worshipped angels. So they were surrounded by this. You know what? We've been caught up in angels before, haven't we? You remember, what was it? I guess it's about 94, 1994. I'm showing my age, okay? Some of you say, I wasn't even 2 years I've been. Touched by an angel. You remember, don't you? You remember? Tess and Monica, Andrew. They were these angels that walked to earth. And you remember what Roma Downey was Monica. God loves, she said in that Australian draw, whatever it is. I don't know how people got a great, how did they get that great voice? And I'm stuck with this, right? It doesn't matter. God loves you. And she could say that. It sounds, yeah, praise the Lord. You remember those shows, right? We get caught up in angels. And sometimes we don't understand them. What do we do with it? I love C.S. Lewis, it was. I think it was his Screwtape Letters in his book, and he was talking about how what we've done in our art of the 19th century and how we've dumbed down angels, more or less. We've made them infantile. You remember Leonardo's pictures of little fat babies? Remember? I mean, seriously. Or we see this feminine angel, and I know some of you ladies are angels, right? But I'm talking about the real thing, okay? And whoa, I'm in trouble, okay? I'm already stepped in it. That's all right. We'll just step right off in that right now, okay? Look, that's okay. The Bible never speaks. When I see angels in the Scriptures, what's always happening? What are they always saying? Fear not. Fear not. That means it's scaring the hound out of whoever it is that they've come in contact with. Think about that. And when angels appeared, do you remember Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he's getting his great commission and he saw the seraphim? The flaming ones is what that means. Does that sound so effeminate or infantile? The flaming ones, and what were they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It said everything was shaking him for whatever. Isaiah's down on his face groveling at this great scene of Christ and these angels. Remember, how about in Judges when Manoah and his wife, and the angel comes to Manoah and they say, hey, you're going to have a son. And his wife, he comes to her first and says, you're going to have this son. And Manoah wasn't with her, and so he goes and he prays. He says, just let this angel come back, and so we can ask him some questions about this son. And that angel comes back, and he actually comes back to the wife, and she says, hold on a minute. She goes, gets her husband, and they come back. He says, I need some information about this son. And he lays out, this is what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And before it's over, he said, let me make you a meal. And he said, I'm not going to eat a meal. But you can make a sacrifice. And he sacrifices this goat on a rock. And then that angel goes up through the flame. Whew. And before, there's Manoah and his wife on the ground again. So, we're going to die. We've seen this and we're going to be killed. And you know what she said? Pretty good common sense, ladies. Well, now, wait a minute. He told us we're going to have a baby. And I don't good logic, ain't it? But we see that time and time. Hey, come on, don't miss out on Balaam's donkey. One of my favorite stories, right? Balaam's going, the children of Moab want to cuss Balaam, wants him to curse the children of Israel, right? He hires Balaam out, and Balaam, God told him, you about to go, and he finally lets him go because Balaam wants the money, you know, and so God, he's going to let Balaam learn a lesson. Old donkey, they're riding out there to go curse the children of Israel. The donkey bows up on him, goes out in the field. The donkey sees the angel. When Balaam don't, that tells me, wait a minute, somebody's a little more discerning than the donkey was more discerning than Balaam was. He even beats that old donkey. God opens his mouth. That old donkey said, what are you doing? Why are you beating me? I saved your life. And then he shows him this great angel of the Lord with his sword drawn. Does that sound like this? Babies are feminine. He's these great creatures. And so we can see where we could get a little miscued if we're not. We'll let Hollywood and everything infiltrate our thinking. These angels were these magnificent creatures that God had created to minister, and we're going to see it come out. But and so the Jews, he's going to show them, listen, as great as the angels were, let me show you one that's greater. And he's talking about Christ. And so he's using these things. He's using the Old Testament. Please, don't miss this when we go through these scriptures. He's going to quote 8 Old Testament verses. And when I was reading this, sometimes it's kind of hard dense. It has to keep bouncing before it goes in. I realized it was the Holy Spirit's commentary of the inspired word of the Old Testament. You say, what are you talking about? You can't go wrong there, buddy. When the Holy Spirit here in the New Testament is telling you what you're reading in the Old Testament, why, that's some good learning right there, buddy. And so we're going to see that in these scriptures in greater than the angels. We're going to see that Christ is superior in all ways. Not only last week he talked about how he's superior to all men and all things, but he's also going to show he's superior. I want you to understand something this morning. Please, before I get started, I believe in extraterrestrials. E.T. Not like little green men on different planets, but I believe in angels, and I believe there are thousands of them. And we know that thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000s that it talks about them. They're not of this earth or of heaven. They're extraterrestrial. God created them for a purpose, and we're going to learn that as we go through this. But Christ is superior to any angel. We'll see that. I want us to see 5 ways that he's superior as we look at our verses. First, he's got a superior name. Look at verses 4 through 5. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than them, for which of the angels did he say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. That superior name is Son. Son. He inherits it. There's no angel that has ever been called the Son. Capital S. This reference in verse 4 is to his incarnation when we just celebrated, just finished with Christmas and how he came to this earth. He came to be man, to walk this earth sinless, to give his life. God, the God-man that gave his life upon a cross and died and was buried and rose again the third day, that whoever puts their trust in his sacrifice for their sins becomes sons and daughters of God. That's a great trait. Your sin for his righteousness is what the scripture says. I don't know about you, but one that's had that applied to his life, I'll never get over it. I should have been dead a long time ago. 28 years is a long time to live in the debauched state of drinking and drugs and chasing everything that walked. Should have been dead a long time ago, but his grace found me. And he saved me. And you've heard me say it. I won't ever quit saying it. And he made me your preacher. What a comic he is. He's got this humor. But I can relate to anybody sitting in this room. I don't care where you're at and what you've done. If God can save me, he can save anybody. Don't ever try to get him in your mind. Oh, you got to figure him out. How does this work? I don't believe in that myth. Listen, one day you will. Don't let the Holy Spirit pass you by today. If you'll listen, he'll pick on your heart. He'll prick it. That's what our wish is. He's got this superior name because of his work. He is exalted above the angels. And we know that they knew who he was because he was in heaven with them. No angel sees herself superior to Christ. Never. Why? They know the Son of God before he was incarnated, before he walked this earth. And they know him after when he was in his exaltation, when he ascended on high. And we'll see a little bit of that in a minute. But I want you to see, he supports this superior name with two Old Testament verses. First is Psalm 2:7, which we're preaching through the Psalms on Wednesday night. We're almost finished. We didn't do all of them, but it's a walk through the Psalms. And so it's 2:7. It's a famous messianic psalm. Psalms 2 is. Jesus is always God's Son. Today he says that. It's what he's making in that scripture when he says, today I've declared it. Listen, it's a declaration for when he was resurrected, when he was exaltated, God declared. Do you remember at his baptism when John's on the bank and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the world? Remember that? And when God overshadows him, what he says, this is my beloved Son. When the Spirit came down and rested upon Jesus, listen to him. See, our problem is kind of like the Jews, if we're not careful. We'll hear God's word Sunday after Sunday through the week, but we never receive it. Listen to what it is that he's trying to tell us. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to get and convince them that the Old Testament is pointing toward this Jesus that's on the way. He's using their own scriptures and teaching them. What beauty. We can learn. Can we learn from the Old Testament? You better believe it. It's all God's Word. And so he shows that. And then on the second quote there is 2 Samuel 7:14. And anybody, if you study the scripture, you should know this is the Davidic covenant. This is when God's telling David, listen, there's not going to fail to be one that sits on the throne from your bloodline. Now, we know that who was the son after David that sat on the throne? Come on, Bible scholars. Solomon. Solomon was his son. Was that the one that fulfilled it? No, he wasn't talking about Solomon. He was talking about David's greater son that would come. And because of that, he was speaking about the one that they were looking for. They were looking for their Messiah. And the writer of Hebrews said, this is Jesus. This is the one. Don't look towards these other heavenly beings. Look to Jesus. Boy, that's a good amen today. Look to Jesus. What are you looking to this morning? What are you looking to? Yes. Well, if we're not looking to Christ, what are we looking at? Are we looking at our own health? Are we looking at our own financial stability? Are we checking our 401k and putting our worth in that? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. This world wants to suck and pull and get everybody to get their eyes off of him and get it on the creation and what man can do. Don't look to Capitol Hill. Can anybody say amen? Look to Calvary's Hill. Man will let you down, but I promise you Christ never will. Never. Not one time. I've let him down many times. Not one time has he let me down. He's got a superior name. Now you remember the story. We're going to do a little going back because of just a few weeks ago. It was Jesus at Gabriel's pronouncement. Remember when he goes to Mary and Luke 1 and 32? Do you remember that? Gabriel goes to Mary. That's betrothed to Joseph, and what does he tell her? He tells her, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name his name Jesus. But also in 32, listen to what he says. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Boom. 2 Samuel 7. Don't miss this. Who's proclaiming it? An angel. We don't ever see Jesus proclaiming somebody, an angel coming, do we? But we see the angels always proclaiming his coming and what's going to happen. The name of Jesus, 31, and he'll sit on the throne. It was announced by an angel that this one that was coming and would be born to Mary would be superior to all others because he's Lord. He's Son. And so not only does he have this superior name, but look, he has superior honor. Look at verse 6. It says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. He quotes the Old Testament again from Deuteronomy 32:42, which is the song of Moses. And I mean, that's straight to the heart. It's messianic again. Moses was one of the big three, okay, man? When they heard Moses, it's his song. It's pointing to the Messiah. You know what he's saying? Here's your Messiah. Jesus. He's using the Old Testament to point to Christ, the fulfillment of that Old Testament. And he's telling them, listen, he uses that word firstborn. You'll hear a lot of people get caught up in that. See, oh, I tell you, he's just like the angel. He's been created. Jesus is just a good man. Listen, it takes a lunatic to believe he's just a good man. He's either God or he's not. And so we see here that they're saying here, as he quotes this old firstborn, that term is not referring, listen, it's not referring to time. It's referring to honor and dignity and power and authority. Because in that culture, the firstborn, what did he do? He inherited it all. And so he's saying, man, Jesus is this one that inherited the honor and the dignity and the power. And please don't miss this. What's God saying? He's commanding the angels to what? Worship the Son. Now, if you go back to Exodus 20, does everybody know what's in Exodus 20? What's happening in Exodus 20? It's the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. And the very first one is what? You shall have no other gods before me. Is that not the very first one? Everybody do like yes if you're tracking with me. Very first commandment. And God, listen to what is he saying? God is telling the angels to worship the Son, Jesus. Now, if God is telling... These next few verses are going to show the divinity of Christ. People say, well, Christ wasn't God. How can you read this and not see this, please? If God himself commands the angels to worship the Son, then the Son must be God. Is that too illogical to understand? If God tells the angels to worship the Son, Jesus, then Jesus must be God. Can anybody see that? Please see that reasoning. And that's what he's saying. He said he tells the angels to worship the Son. Remember, the angels pronounced to the shepherds on the Christmas story back again in the incarnation. He's born on that day. Remember, he goes to the shepherds. And what did he say to them? Here's what the angel said. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly, remember that? What were they? There was this whole host of heavenly angels in the multitude praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. I see angels are worshiping the birth of the Son. I mean, we all see that. To me, it's so ironic that the world say, I just don't believe that stuff, and yet they'll worship the birth of the King. How much hypocrisy is that? If you don't believe in Jesus, what are you doing giving presents on his birthday? You see, the world is looking answers and hope. There's a part of you that longs to understand, is this all life is about? You'll try as you might to find that answer. The only answer is in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Period. You can burn yourself out, spend your whole life looking on the answer, Christ. And this author of Hebrews, he's telling them, man, hey, the glory to God in highest. And then please don't miss Revelation chapter 5. I hope we understand it. 5, 11, and 12. John says, what does he say? And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000s of times upon 10,000s and thousands upon thousands. And saying with a loud voice, you know what they're saying? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. The angels are worshiping him. And the next verse, I love the next verse, is every creature. Listen, what's every creature? Every creature which is in heaven, on earth, under the earth, such as in the sea, all that is in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. I wish I could sing. I'd break out. To him who sits on the throne. They're worshiping him. And so he could be, why? He has a superior name and he has superior honor. But not only that, verses 7 through 9, he has superior status. And of the angels, he says in verse 7, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is your scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. The Son is creator and sustainer of it all. Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame? Who can create? Can you make an angel? We can make a lot of nice things. We're sitting in a building that was constructed by men a while back. There's some great men that sit these seats. I see Rick's making a beautiful house up on it. Beautiful. I mean, we can create things, can't we? How many of you create an angel? I said, man, I wish I could. I've got to do some things he can take care of. We can. Only God can. We see this as creator. He quotes Psalm 45, 6 through 7. And think about, again, those awesome angel encounters of the Scripture. God, the Son, created that. He created all things. And verse 8 is the greatest, what I believe is the greatest statement of Christ's divinity, that Christ was God in all of Scripture. And what does it say? Your throne. This is God the Father speaking about the Son. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. God the Father calls the Son God. Well, Jesus, he never claimed to be God all throughout the Scripture. In fact, John 10 says they wanted to stone him because he made himself equal with the Father. Your throne magnifies his sovereignty. He's King of Kings. Your throne, O God, magnifies his deity. He's God. It's forever and ever magnifies his eternality. He never started and he never ends. He's forever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. Magnifies his authority. This verse reveals both Jesus' actions and his motive. He not only acted in righteousness, he loved righteousness. Why? Because he loves righteousness, he hates lawlessness. Listen to this. You can't do one without. We like to keep our foot, if we're not careful, one in each. You either love righteousness and hate lawlessness. That's a principle that cannot be, they don't go together. You either, let me put it in a good old Dave terms. You either is or you isn't. Okay? You're either a Christian or you're not. But playing like you're a Christian and acting like the world's something is not right when we look up in the Scripture. That's not God. And Jesus, because he is his scepter of righteousness, he hates lawlessness. He hates sin. Aren't you glad he made a way? Aren't you glad he didn't leave us hanging and we feel like he's up there just waiting on us to mess up with a big old hammer and boom, ain't you glad that ain't our God? But he loved us this much that he came and he died for us to make us a way, find fulfillment in this life, to find purpose. That's our God. Verse 9, look, we see his superior status. What does it say? Therefore, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Those companions, he's speaking of the angels. Who's God's companions in the heavenlies? The angels. And then it says God anointed him, ordained him to be that which we needed in mankind. God loved you that much. That's why that scripture, why they quote John 3:16 all the time? I get so tired. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, that's me and you, and who else, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now wait a minute, it says I won't perish. Does that mean I'm not going to die? I ain't going to stand up here and tell you that. In fact, if the Lord tarries, we're all going to die. One and one of us here in this room, okay? Physically, but you don't have to die spiritually or eternally. Praise God. And that's, hey, just a few years here? Man, think about it. With these old bodies, I'm freestyling. That's right. Weight Watchers. Freestyling. Man, listen, when they make fish and chicken, no points, a Baptist preacher can lose weight on that diet, okay? Get real. It can't be fried, though. Maybe we'll get it there. But listen, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to carve the holidays off of my midsection. I try to take care of myself physically, and we all should. we all should take care of ourselves because we're stewards of God, what He's given us. But how about spiritually? What am I doing for my spiritual health? Oh, I'm exercising and walking and doing that. What am I doing for my spiritual health? Because that's what's most important. I'm going to live forever either in a place called heaven or a place called hell. Your choice, if you stand and reject Jesus Christ, it'll be the place called hell, forever separated from God forever. Please don't make that choice. Even when you think, well, I just don't believe that, you will one day. Please, listen, you'll never stand and say, when I'm here, and this is what cuts me, and I realize, when I tell you these truths, you'll never stand before God and say, I didn't know. In fact, you'll stand condemned because you listened to the truth of God's Word and you rejected it more so. God stands at the door and He knocks. And He'll come in and He'll sup with you if you'll just open the door and say, you know what, I've tried it all. I've done it. I've tried my best to figure out what this thing is. And when I hear this, there's something in my heart that's burning. I'll try to reject it, but there's something that gets a hold of me. And you know what? I'm going to receive Jesus, even though when I can't figure it all with my mind, I can receive Him all with my heart. He'll get everything straight now. Don't start saying, well, I need to quit doing this. I need to do this. If God, listen, you let Him save you, He'll clean you up. Can anybody say amen to that? He's superior here in name and honor and status, but also in existence. Look, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are your work of your hands. They perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never fail. We all understand this. Are you wearing clothes that you wore in 1980 or 90 or however old you are? We keep up with the times, don't we? And what do we do with the old clothes? Well, we just throw them away or we give them to somebody we think can use them just because we don't want them and we don't want to think that we're out of date, most of us. He's saying, he's referring to Christ just like an old garment. Psalms 102, man. 102, 50, 25 through 27. You know what he's saying? He said, we just roll it up and throw it away. He said, that's what Christ can do with His creation. And that's who we're worshiping. That's who we should be in awe of and say, oh, he's my main child. He's my main friend. We treat him like disrespect. Listen, he's your friend at six crosses than a brother, but he's God. And he deserves our reverence. He's not my homeboy, okay? He's God. Christ is superior to angels. Why? Because He existed eternally. You ever had your kids say, where'd God come from? You ever had that? Where'd God come from? Maybe you even asked that yourself. Scripture says He's forever, been forever, forever will be. Well, I can't grasp that. You know why? Because you live again in time, box of time and space. Outside of that is eternity. How are you going to grasp living for eternity one day? Listen, if God can breathe, if God can take a little bit of dirt and breathe life into it and call it man, He can do whatever He wants to. Can you say amen to that? Praise God, He didn't leave us alone, but out of man, He made a woman. Help me. And that's where we come from. And that's who we answer to. He made us, so we answer to Him. And one day, He's forever been, forever will be. The unchanging Christ, it had to be a great comfort to these persecuted Christians. You ever get tired of life changing? It just flip-flops around and things go on. There's something that never changes, and that's Christ. Why? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Praise God. And so that had to be a great comfort to them. But lastly, yes, he's superior in name. He's superior in honor. He's superior in status. He's superior in existence. But last thing, superior in vocation. Look at 13 and 14 as we close. But to which of the angels has He ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministers, spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Angels serve Christ. They serve. You know what? Christ rules. He rules. Psalms 110. He never says to an angel, God never says this to any angel, I'm going to make every enemy bow down and you will put your foot on their neck. He never says that to any. Only to Son. Verse 14. He makes a statement. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? Angels are to minister. They're ministering spirits. That's their vocation. They're wonderful. They're amazing. But they're servants to the Most High God. These believers were tempted to give up. Being taught that Christ was just an angel, just another created being, just another fairy tale. Wrong. He's God. And He's God's Son. And He requires each and every one of us to make a decision about who is this Jesus? And what am I going to do with Him? Guess what? You'll make that decision here before you leave. We all do. What am I going to do with Him? I love these. Who are they ministering to? What does it say right there? Those who will inherit salvation. You know who that is? You and me. They minister to you and me, these angels. God cares about. They minister us. I've read many stories, missionary stories about the villages under attack, huts, just a group, a couple of missionaries that were under attack, getting ready to be attacked, and the attack didn't come, and they're in there praying, and find out later that when they asked the tribal people what happened, or to the crowds, well, them great big old men that you had surrounding your hut, even sitting on top of the hut, we were scared to attack. What men? Time and time, shiny armor, white. Time you hear story and stories that God protects His children. He watches over them. But you know what? Angels are great ministering spirits, but not my Savior. Nobody greater than Him. I don't worship angels. I worship the one who created the angels. What about you? Let's stand on our feet as we close. Chris is going to put us some music on, and here's my applications. Who or what do you worship? Who or what do you worship? You say, well, I don't worship anything. You're worshiping something. Show me your checkbook and the time, and I'll show you what you're worshiping. Number two, Christ will return soon. Are you ready? This same Jesus that we're lifting up today in these scriptures and through the writer of Hebrews, as he's reaching out to these Christians and trying to encourage them, he's also reaching out to us. If this Jesus came, He's coming again. And it's time to get serious in 2018. Where you stand. If you got one foot in the world, one foot in church, hollering, I'm all right, don't worry. Lastly, number three, if we believe this, who do you need to tell about this wonderful Savior? If He is the Savior, if He did that for you, are you sharing that? Do you care enough about this lost world that's dark and dying and going to hell to share with them the light of Christ that's brought He's brought into your life? Let's close our eyes before the Lord just a few minutes. What has God said to you? If there's somebody here that's never received Christ as their Savior, today is the day of the salvation. Just come, give your life to Christ. All you have to do is, you can't figure it out with your mind. Follow what God's saying to your spirit. Follow what the Holy Spirit, if He's quickening your heart, say, you know what, this is what I need. I need this. Why? I'm missing it. What's God saying to you? Maybe somebody else, you know what? I've got one foot in the world. I've got one foot in the church. And I'm trying to play this out. Does your life need to be sold out in 2018 and say, you know what, God? I'm going to follow You completely. No more. No more wavering. Maybe somebody's just loaded up, heavy. You got something you need to lay down at the altar today. This time for you. What's God saying to you? Respond in obedience. You can't go alone. Somebody is standing there right now, and you're fighting. I want you to know you don't have to walk an aisle to get saved. You can receive Christ right where you're standing. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm receiving Jesus' payment for my sin. My sin. I realize that He died for me, and so I'm turning. I'm repenting, and I'm turning to Him. Lord, forgive me. I receive Christ. You can be saved right where you're standing, but I promise you're going to let somebody know. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't come into a life and change a person that they don't tell and let somebody know. So whatever God's doing, let Him do it. Just for another second, give a moment of silence. Thank you. 6 o'clock at night. Come on out. Got Kingdom Kids, something for the kids. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians. Great time, finger food. Come and we eat. I'll have to eat fruit. I'm freestyling. Maybe some chicken and some butter. But listen, yeah, fruit and vegetables. Listen, I love you. Anything that I can help you with, please let me know. Okay? Lee finishes it.